I am going to, we actually have a little video to intro the talk this morning. This is another thing that happened last week, well, over the last month or so. We did a ton of prep and planning, and this was filmed a while ago, and we want to share it with you guys now before I begin speaking. So go ahead.
Jesus, I decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you made the perfect decision, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Okay. Well, I'm honored. This feels great.
Hey, Kathleen, guess what? I got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Really? Do you have enough on it to cover me, too?
Well, no, but I figured you could just borrow your mom's again.
It's just she asked me to stop doing that, remember?
Well, so what? She doesn't have to know. Anyway, are you coming?
No.
No? Why?
What I mean is, I'm not sure. Just let me think about it, and then I'll get back to you, okay?
Okay, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
I'm kind of falling off over here. Look, I just want to make sure that we're both on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes the decisions.
Yeah.
So, what's the problem?
Oh, there's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Here, sit down.
Okay. As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Let's start over.
Okay.
I've noticed you've been losing your temper lately.
Right. You know, Jesus, I know what you're going to say.
You do?
Oh, yes. Just you don't understand the whole situation. I mean, I have a lot going on right now.
I know you are under a lot of pressure.
Oh, pressure, Jesus. You don't understand pressure.
Kat. This isn't working.
What do you mean?
We can't both sit on the stool. It has to be you, or it has to be me.
I know, it's just, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. Just, here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to just take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Right. Well, I'm popping, so sorry about the popping. We'll deal with that, I think, in the back there. I just want to say thank you one more time for allowing us to take over the service this morning. Hopefully you were greeted by a young, smiling face there in the back. Hopefully our ushers made you feel welcome as you came down. We've got guys in the booth. Matt's actually running the computer back there. Gavin's running the live stream. We had our worship team up here. Sue, where's Sue? Is she in here? Oh, she bailed somewhere? Nice. Oh, she's way in the back there. Sue did all of this in like 2 hours yesterday, like crazy. I can't believe she got all that done. Looks really cool. I appreciate her doing that. I'm trying to think of what, the skit people, audio visual, Scott's on the soundboard today. We've got teens everywhere this morning. So I just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with you in that way and to allow them to use the gifts and talents that God has given them. When you saw on the schedule that today was Youth Sunday, you could have stayed home. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you've chosen to be here with us this morning. We think that's awesome. We want to thank you for being here. And when we set the date for Youth Sunday and we saw that it was the week of July 4th, we thought it would be natural to share with you some things that we learned during a series that we did this year called Freedom. And as you can see, the title is a bit tongue-in-cheek, right? We spelled freedom the wrong way. We spelled it with dumb at the end. And the reason we did that is because our perspectives, our thinking on what it means to be truly free, sometimes is kind of dumb. We don't have it quite right. And so we went through the Bible. We talked about what true freedom really looks like. And as we did with our teens during that series, I want to start you all off with a couple of discussion questions. So we're going to need some participation. I'm not going to ask you to call out or anything right now, but I want you to go ahead and turn to your neighbors, those around you, and I want to get you thinking along these lines. And I want you to first discuss this question with your neighbors. What do you think of when you hear the word freedom? What do you think of when you hear the word freedom? Maybe it's, you know, America, maybe it's 4th of July, you know, whatever it is. So go ahead, take a minute. I'm allowing you to talk right now. I need you to talk to fill the empty sound. Go ahead and talk about that question. And in just a minute, I'll have you switch on to the second question. So go ahead, discuss with your neighbor what you think of when you hear the word freedom. All right, while I am putting this new mic on, go ahead and move on to the second question. What would you do if you were free to do anything you wanted? All right, all your responsibilities are gone. Okay, the kids moved out, house is paid for, money's no object, you have no job because you're independently wealthy. Yeah, right. This is a dream, right? Go ahead and dream for a minute. What would you do if you were free to do anything you wanted? Go ahead and do the second question, and then we'll get back together. All right, let's bring it back together. Now I'm going to ask you all to share with me. Somebody raise your hand or just call out. What do you think of when you hear the word freedom? Anybody? What?
Bald eagle.
Bald eagle, good. Who said Jesus? Somebody said Jesus.
Your first car.
Your first car. I love that. Nobody else? Nothing? Yeah, go ahead, bud. The Revolutionary War. Okay, yeah, he's in full July 4th mode over there. Good. Anybody else? He's probably still doing school. He's homeschooled. Sorry, pardon me. Go ahead, Rob. What's that? Freedom is never free. Good. All right, got you. Very good. All right. How about second? Go ahead, Corbin. One. Braveheart. Yes. Freedom, right? Yeah, good. You guys are hitting on some stuff we're going to talk about in a little bit. But all right, now second question. You're independently wealthy. You have no responsibilities. What would you do if you were free to do anything you wanted? Let's hear it.
Buy a car.
Good. Go ahead, Stacey. Travel the world. Fantastic. Go ahead, Ev. Ooh, buy a castle in Scotland. I like it. It's cold over there, though. Mm. Go ahead, Elda. Move south. Get out of here. You want to be hotter than this? Like, seriously. No, nothing. Is it? Oh, you're just, yeah, you want to go south. Jenny wants to come with you. All right, she's coming with you. All right, good. No, thank you for participating. I hope that got you thinking along the lines of what it means to be free. I think it's safe to say that we all have excitement around that idea of freedom, right? There's a sense of hope and, like, joy when we think about freedom. You know, maybe it's America, whatever, it's our military, freedom isn't free, that kind of thing. But as I said earlier, we're going to find that sometimes our perspective on freedom is a bit skewed. So let's go ahead and talk about that. And if I were to answer that question, when I was in high school, right, or junior high, and when I taught the teens, this is the perspective I took, right? I was right there with Nate, okay? It was my first car. It was my driver's license. If somebody asked me what it meant to be free, it was that, right? I remember daydreaming when I was in junior high, high school, just before I turned 16, my 10th grade year. But before that, all I could think about was getting my permit and having some freedom. Better yet, was getting my license, right? Being able to drive on my own and get out of here. For some of you, that's still the idea of freedom. That's why you have a motorcycle, right? Come on. Some of you feel, you know, you feel the air is blowing through you. You know, that's freedom for you, right, Corbin, right? That's why you have an RV. Some of you, freedom, you just get to go. So that convertibles, who's got a convertible? Scott's here somewhere, maybe. Maybe not today. Graveling, you got a convertible because you want to feel the wind in your hair. You want to be free. And I would daydream about, you know, opening the door, putting the key in the ignition, strapping my seatbelt on, revving the engine, cranking the radio up, right, and peeling out, peace, Mom and Dad, right, see ya, hitting the gas, flying out of the driveway on my way to anywhere. Like, in this daydream, it didn't matter where I was going. I was just going to be free because I had my license. All I knew was that on that day, there's Mr. Braveheart for you. That was me leaving my driver's test. Or, you know, when I passed, I had my license in my hand. Freedom! All right, I felt free. Now that I'm an adult, though, and a parent and a youth pastor, the idea of teens driving cars... Yeah, we have so many students in our ministry that are getting their permits, they're getting their licenses, and I can't imagine how you as a parent feel, like, handing over the key, handing over control of the vehicle to a person who might eat this for like $10, all right? Like, 15. I didn't know if 10 was too low. 15 to eat one of these Tide Pods. I can't imagine how you're doing it. But I digress a little bit. But there's something special, right, about having that wheel in your hands, having those keys, and being able to drive. Now that I'm a little bit older, I'm married, I don't drive that much anymore. I drive myself to the gym. You can't tell. I do drive myself to the gym occasionally in the morning. I drive myself home. I drive myself to work. But any time that our family goes anywhere, that's my wife, Faith, by the way, if you don't know. That's her over there. It's a beautiful lady there behind the team. Just about anywhere we go, Faith drives. This is not because I'm a bad driver. All right? I mean, kind of. Mostly, it's because she gets really car sick when I drive. And that's not because I'm a bad driver. It's because she easily gets car sick. And it may have something to do with me. Now, Faith is a great driver. Okay? But, there's a big but right here. There are times when I ride with my wife that I fear for my life. Anybody had one of these situations when they're riding with their spouse or maybe their teen who's learning to drive? You feel like Steve Martin in that scene. You're like, oh, you look over and you see the devil's driving the car. That kind of thing. But no, there have been a few occasions where I've feared for my life. And one of those times, and it's, listen, this is not because Faith's a bad driver. I'm going to say it again. Like, she's a fantastic driver. Everybody else is bad drivers. Everybody else around her. That's what she tells me. But this... I want to tell you one quick story. This is an example of a time when I feared for my life, and these happen all the time when she's driving. I don't know why. All the time when she's driving. We live in Johnson City. We were coming up on the 201 ramp, headed towards the mall, right? You guys see where I am? We're on the bridge over here. As we're coming up on the ramp, a truck passes us. In the back of this truck is a toy plastic playhouse. You know the kind you put in your yard in the back, yeah? They're like 5-6 feet tall. They got the little doors and the windows. There's huge cobwebs in every corner of them. I hate the things. Anyway, we pull up onto the highway. This truck blows by us. Apparently, it wasn't tied down very well. And, as the guy's driving, this gust of wind catches the entire playhouse. It comes up in the air. And we're just like, look at each other like, no! And it comes right for us. And it landed right on the top of our car and bounced off and went flying behind us. They pull over. We pull over. Guy gets out of his truck, blows right past us. Like, nothing happened to us. He's worried about this little playhouse, right? I called Dan. I was like, hey, are you working today? Would you mind coming up on the bridge real quick? So these are the kinds of things that happen when Faith drives. And when you're in the passenger seat, sorry, Faith, she's a fantastic driver. When you're in the passenger seat in a situation like that, you're completely out of control, right? I wanted to grab the steering wheel and do something with it, but she navigated us through that perfectly. And if you're anything like me, sometimes you're not super excited about being in the passenger seat. And we feel like that in life sometimes, right? We want to be in control. We want to be in the driver's seat because control equals freedom. We want to make our own decisions. We want to make our own choices because being in the driver's seat, making those decisions, that means we have freedom. And if you've grown up in church world at all, or even if you hadn't, the idea of freedom in Christianity, you just think those two things don't go together. God and freedom are oxymorons, maybe. They can't coexist in the same sentence. And when you read in John 8, where Jesus says this verse that we've got written up here, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, you kind of dismiss this statement because of who said it, because it's God, and God's about rules. God's about no. Those are his two favorite things. There's a time in my life where I thought this. Like, there's no way God wants me to be free. He just wants to lay all of these rules and regulations on me, these things that I need to follow. But we're going to find this morning that that perspective on freedom, it's not quite right. It's kind of dumb. We're going to find that God has better things planned for our lives. We're going to find that true freedom is found in giving up control of our lives to God, allowing him to take the steering wheel. So this morning, I want to take you all the way back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Everything's going to be up on the screen. If you need to use a pew Bible, it's probably on page 1. I'm guessing like it's right at the beginning. We're going to go back to the beginning. And I want to show you that God's favorite word isn't no, and that the words freedom and God can definitely coexist, and they will hold up together. Most of you know the account of creation from Genesis 1, and this is kind of bonus content, okay? This is to give us some context for where we're headed. Genesis 1 is where it talks about the creation of the world. And I love this verse. I'm going to read it to you. It says, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He's talking about the sun and the moon, right? Those are awesome. He just makes them. He just says, okay, let there be light. Boom, boom. Sun, moon. And then, you know, just as an aside, he says, he also made the stars. No big deal. Anybody watch Nova ever? Or like, you know, yeah, get on online and you do the star mapping and star charts and all that. Or is that weird? Is that bad stuff? Anyway, stars. When you think about the stars, like, there's just billions upon billions of these things. We know from satellites and telescopes and all that stuff that even, like, there are stars out there that would just swallow it up in a brief sizzle if it got too close. And the author of Genesis just says, you know, he also made the stars. Like, no big deal. God just breathed those things out. So that's the guy we're dealing with, right? The guy who made the stars. My mic's doing something funny again. Anyway, at the end of the first chapter, right, God makes man and woman. All right, so in chapter 2, we're going to pick this up. We're going to talk about how God creates humankind in further detail. So look at verses 7 and 8. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man that he had made. It goes on to say that God created all kinds of like beautiful trees that produced this wonderful fruit. He gave Adam everything he needed to thrive, and there was nothing really about surviving. It was about thriving and living and enjoying himself. Everything mankind could have ever wanted was available to them in the garden. They were completely free. Except there was one rule, right? One stipulation. If you remember the story, if you've heard the story before, there is one rule to help them maintain and enjoy their relationship with God. So let's read that rule. So the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. So God says to Adam, he says, look, I've made all of this for you. And I've made you to enjoy all of this. I've even made you a companion to enjoy it with. A little bit later on, he makes a woman for him to enjoy it with, somebody to just run around, tend this garden, enjoy all of this. But I'm just going to give you this one little rule. You see that tree over there? Just don't eat it. No, there's just one. Just don't eat that one tree. Be free and enjoy my creation. So I don't want you to miss this. We went all the way back to the beginning, right? And we saw this, that in God's perfect creation, he only gave one rule. Because God's not into rules. He wants us to be free. That's the goal. That's the goal behind all of the rules and all of the things we have going on. God wants us to be free. He wanted to keep Adam and Eve safe. He wanted to keep them happy. He wanted them to be fulfilled. He wasn't keeping something from them. He was keeping them from something that would hurt them. That's what he was trying to do with this rule. If anybody wants us to be free, it's God. That's how it started out. But even back then, we as humankind had a desire to take control of our lives. And we're going to see what happens here in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read 6 verses here, I think. So stay with me. Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And she answers him. She says, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. And Satan answers, he says, you won't die, he replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Now the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. It's like a sad story. I hate that story. Part of it has to do with the fact that I did my thesis on this passage. So it's like overkill. But it is a sad story. But you see, Satan is so skillful when he tempts us. He helped Eve to get to a place where she felt like God was trying to keep something from her, where she could doubt that God wanted her to be safe, that God wanted her to be happy and free. They believed that God was trying to hold out on them and that true freedom was found in rebellion. They believed that rebellion leads to freedom. And if we were to read the rest of the chapter, we'd see that this one act of rebellion led to a loss of freedom, the complete loss of freedom, the loss of innocence, the loss of safety, a loss of happiness. They knew evil in a very real sense, right? That's what the tree was supposed to give them, a knowledge of good and evil. And now they had experienced evil. That was something God was trying to keep from them and keep them from. Their relationship with God was never going to be the same, right? They had disobeyed Him. It was never going to be as close as it was. They weren't going to be able to live in the garden anymore. And where they went, they were going to try to produce food and work the land, but the land was going to fight against them, and weeds and thistles and all that were going to grow up, and it was going to be hard. And I don't know what it would have been like before, but there was a curse on childbirth. It became painful. Can I get an amen from the moms out there, right? Became painful. So this story is super sad for you, right? Maybe it would have been easier. But their unwillingness to obey God, their free act of rebellion, is the reason we have so many rules. They broke one rule. Now we're kind of inundated with rules. We have a lot of things we have to keep. And in the same, but rules aren't the worst part. I skipped ahead. Rules aren't the worst part. All the consequences to their actions were terrible, right? They were horrible. They were devastating. But it wasn't just that they lost their freedom. They actually became slaves. They became slaves to sin. When they made the choice to take matters into their own hands and not trust God, take control of their own lives, they introduced a little word into the world that hadn't been there before. And that word is sin. And in the same passage where Jesus says, "You will know the truth and the truth will set you free," He says this in John 8:34, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And here's where their thinking and our thinking gets a little dumb, gets a little confused. We think we're being free when we make our own choices, when we go against the advice of God in the Bible, when we take matters into our own hands instead of trusting Him. We end up becoming slaves to these things that we do. We don't know better than Him. We end up in a mess. And Jesus says when we live this way, we end up being slaves. And I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but we're going to look at Romans 6. One of my professors used to say you get two legal flips in a sermon, so these are my two. This is the second one, Romans 6:12. He says, Paul says this, "Don't let sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." I think these are some pretty strong words about sin, right? He says when we start giving into it, it can reign over us and it can make us obey it. How many of you are on Twitter? Anybody else enjoy Twitter? A few, like none? Wow! You guys are missing out. There's a lot of fun stuff on there. But I am a fan. So they have these things called moments on Twitter that you can click on and kind of look through a subject, a topic. And one of my favorites is this week in church signs. You guys figure I would like the church signs section of Twitter, right? I think they're kind of fun. And this is one that pops up every so often, every few weeks. It says, "Give Satan an inch and he will be your ruler." All right, that's kind of hokey, right? Like, not that funny. But if we read Romans 6 and John 8:34, that's exactly what the Bible is telling us. Paul says, don't let it reign over you. Don't make it make you obey it. When we choose to disobey God and think that we're taking control of our lives, we think we have freedom. We think we really have control, but what we really have is freedom, right? What we really have is freedom. So what does this look like? Let's get kind of practical. It looks like our little choices and our big choices every day. And now our first through sixth graders are here, so I'm going to try to use some tact. This is that part where I told you I wasn't going to try to say anything like that would embarrass you in front of your kids or whatever. But God's pretty clear about marriage and the marriage bed. Right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. Hopefully not our first through sixth graders. But God's pretty clear, right, about the design for that and how that's supposed to work. But sometimes some of us want to go ahead and make our own decisions in that area. We want to participate in that stuff outside of marriage and outside of the way that God has designed it to work. We think we're free, but we end up becoming slaves of those things. And I'm not just talking about a physical act, like something that has to physically happen with someone. This can be on your cell phone, at your computer, at work, or at home when everybody else is gone. Like, we're talking about that too. That's outside of God's design. We think we're free. You know, we're enjoying this, but we become slaves to that kind of life. We become slaves to that kind of sin. And it damages our hearts. Damages our minds. It can damage your current marriage relationship, and it can damage future marriage relationships. Was I vague and specific enough there, everybody? I hope. Yeah, so that's one area where we think we have freedom, but it's actually kind of dumb. How about finances? Oh, don't talk about money. No, God says a lot about money, right? A lot of us live as though God wants to get our money. Right? He wants to come after us. When we pass that offering plate, some of you feel like, well, God's trying to get my money. You know, but the opposite is true. God doesn't want your money to get you. God doesn't want your money to get you. When we hoard it, or we're stingy with it, or we don't give it away when we feel like we ought to, or when we borrow more than we can afford, we become slaves. Right? We become slaves to money. We become slaves to the lender. We lose control of this thing God has blessed us with, and we become controlled by other people or by that money. We live like credit cards and financing give us freedom, but we become slaves to the lender. And that's not what God wants for you. That's not what He wants for me. He wants us to have freedom in that area, be free to be generous and to give and to bless other people. So that's one area where we can become dumb in our idea of freedom. How about worship? I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about Sunday mornings. I'm talking about our kids. Some of us worship our kids. Some of us worship our spouses, our cars, our phones, our TVs, our sports teams, a political party, celebrities. We make idols of these things, and we go after them, and we're obsessed with them, but we're never satisfied with them because they're not the right source of worship or right place to be worshiping, the right person to be worshiping. It's God. We got to be worshiping God so we can find satisfaction and freedom and joy in our worship. We become slaves to our idols, and we never get anything back from them. We end up with freedom. I don't think any of the scenarios I just described sound like freedom, right? Like true freedom. They all sound like bondage and slavery to me, but that's how a lot of us live our lives sometimes. We think that these things are going to give us freedom, but they don't. So what do? If we go back to John 8, Jesus continues in verse 36, and He says this: "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Sin leads to slavery, but life with Jesus leads to freedom. God doesn't give us rules to keep us from anything or anything from us. He's not up there trying to make life horrible for us by withholding all the fun stuff from us. That's not what He's doing. He's keeping us from things that will ultimately destroy us, lead us down paths we shouldn't go, get us into positions where we can't be helpful to anybody because we've destroyed our testimony or lost all our money or just made a mess of our lives and our friendships. So this morning I want you to understand this principle, and it's kind of counterintuitive, I think, but I hope you'll embrace it so that you can enjoy freedom and I can enjoy freedom. True freedom can only be found when we give up control of our lives to God. True freedom can only be found when we give up control of our lives to God. So what does that look like? What's it look like to actually give up control? It looks like following the words that are in this book. reading your Bible, studying it, getting to know it. And it's not following them with an attitude of, oh, now I got to follow a bunch of rules and do things God's way. This is going to be horrible. It's a mindset that says, I trust God. I trust that God wants me to be happy. I trust that God wants me to be healthy. I trust that God wants me to be safe and to enjoy my life. And that's why he's put these things in place. And that's a different perspective than a lot of us have, or maybe just some of us, but it's the one that will lead to true freedom. Listen, there's a real danger in trying to take control of your life. When that playhouse was coming at Faith and I, Ellie was in the back, all right? She's about two. She's in her car seat. And there's a lot of scenarios going through my mind, and we've talked about this. Faith could have sped up, right? She could have hit the gas to try to get past it. But that bad boy probably would have landed on the back window and shattered glass all down on Ellie. She could have hit the brakes. It probably would have hit the front window and shattered glass all over Faith and I. Or I could have grabbed the steering wheel and tried to take control of the situation, and we probably would have gone right off the bridge. And that's what can happen in our lives when we try to take control in areas where God needs to have control. There's a danger in us trying to take that steering wheel from him and do things our own way. We can end up making a huge mess for ourselves, for our families, and for our friends, the people around us. So is there something in your life that you're not giving God control of? Maybe it's something I mentioned earlier and you thought, well, that's not really a big deal. It's not exactly what God wants me to be doing with my life, but it's not hurting anybody. It will. And it's hurting you. Are you doing things your way? Are you finding yourself in bondage to things that you think are giving you freedom? Do you feel that way sometimes with these things you should be enjoying, like maybe it's sports or music or whatever, movies, but you end up finding yourself just consumed with those things and becoming a slave to those things? Do you think you're free when you're really a slave? I hope not. I hope you all are embracing freedom that comes through trust in Christ. Just a moment, our band's going to share with us one more song, and I'm going to move off the stage so they can come up and get set up. But I want you to imagine with me just for a minute what your life might look like if you gave up control. If you moved out of the driver's seat, took your hands off of the steering wheel, stopped making your own choices based on your own wisdom, and sought God's wisdom from his word. Imagine what your life might look like at home if you loved your husband the way that God calls you to. Or if you love your wife the way that God calls you to. Kids, imagine what your house would be like if you just obeyed mom and dad. Right? Like, I heard an amen from somebody. Like, I'm saying it too. Like, amen. You know, if they just did what we said, everything would be fine, you know? But imagine what it would be like if we just had that, if our relationships were in the right order, if we did things the way God called us to do. Imagine what your life could be like outside of the home if you weren't worried about getting caught. I don't know what it is that you're worried about getting caught in or caught doing. Maybe it's fooling around at work or flirting with a coworker or something like that. Like, imagine if you didn't have to worry about that. You had the freedom of just doing things God's way and the way he wants you to do it. Imagine if at school you didn't have to worry about that teacher who, you know, you're just always disrespectful and disobedient in their class. You're always giving them a hard time. Imagine if you didn't have to worry about that when you walked into school every day. Your life would be free. Imagine how much better your relationship with God would be, right? If you weren't constantly fighting him for control of your life. If you just let him have control, did what he asked you to do. Imagine the joy and the freedom and the hope you could have in that if you just gave up control. And we're going to sing about that now, and I'm going to pray before we do. Father, we love you. It seems counterintuitive for us to want to give you control of our lives. We say, it's my life. We sing with Bon Jovi, you know, say, it's my life, it's now or never, whatever. But it's not. You've given it to us. It's the life you've given us to live for you. And so we ask that we would stop fighting you, that we would stop fighting for control, that we would stop living in a way that causes us to fear or to be slaves to these things that are controlling us. Help us to identify those things in our lives, to turn them over to you, and when we leave this place today, to take practical steps to get those things out of our lives, to hand over control of our lives to you, so that we don't crash and burn, so that we don't ruin our relationship with you, so that we don't ruin our relationships with our friends and family and coworkers, and so that we can make a difference here in this world for you. Pray as we sing that you would receive our prayer now as a response of surrender and just handing over everything to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The same God who just spoke and breathed those stars into existence wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants you to be free. Doesn't want you to be a slave to anything. Wants you to be free to have a relationship with him, a loving relationship with him. I hope that you've been encouraged this morning by our team here, by the team at the doors, the team in the back. I'm so proud of them, and I hope you are too. Let me pray for you as we send you guys on your way. Father, we love you. We thank you that you love us too, that you loved us first. And you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for our sins. You do want us. Just pray that you would put it in our hearts to want you to want that freedom that you offer rather than the slavery that is out there. Slavery and things that are going to just hurt us, hurt our families, hurt our relationships. Help us to follow hard after you. Help us to give up control, to find freedom there in knowing you and knowing that you are in control of our lives. Thank you for Emily. I thank you for the rest of the band up here. I thank you for Scott and Mike and Nicole and Dan and Bree, Dan and Judy, Faith, Laurelyn, Corbin and Megan, all of our other youth leaders who've done so much work to help these kids get to this point. And we just ask that you would continue to do a great work in their hearts and lives. Help them to understand this too and to get it now. Because there's probably a lot of us adults sitting here going, man, I wish I had heard that when I was their age. I wish I hadn't have gone after that thing and wrecked my relationship here or done this there, but just ran hard after you and found freedom there. So I pray that for these teens. I pray that over them as well. Thank you for the opportunity to worship together today. We pray that we brought honor and glory to you in the service this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.